Episode 165, Injustice, Gods, my voice cracked. Like I was.
Should we do review? Should we say review or not?
I want to go beyond the review. I want to talk about some of the ethical implications.
Like it.
Episode 165, Injustice, Gods Among Us.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed.
I'm Matt Anderson.
And I forgot my name. Not that I forgot it, but I forgot to say it.
I thought you were just waiting for me to do it.
No, I forgot that was my next line, because I was trying to be too silly and got out of control. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiBono.
We are the Sci-Fi Christians back.
Wow, that was brutal.
Yeah.
But it was kind of awesome, too.
It's weird. You say something 165 times.
Yeah, man.
And sometimes you just still mess it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, do you say it even on the time loop episodes?
Yeah, because I still have to intro and say, and this episode was from June.
Hey, guys.
2011.
If you've been listening for a while, you're going to be disappointed. Just turn it off now.
I really do think, though, we've had some turnover in our listeners.
Yeah.
And so we have.
It's a good idea.
I think the larger portion of our current listeners weren't around at the very beginning.
Would we ever time loop a life report episode?
I have thought about it, to be honest, and they're
the
not
best
good
of the radical disciple.
They're not good enough.
They're not
worthy of the time loop. I am interested, though, now that we've brought this up, if you're a listener who's been with us since the very beginning.
So Skip,
no, don't
Casey,
don't call out anybody's names. I just want to see who actually hears these words. I want you to email me at matt@thescifichristian.com and tell me what episode you started listening at. If you feel like you're one of the first listeners,
just if you've only ever heard the Sci-Fi Christian, you're not one of the first listeners.
Yeah, no, I'm not talking about the life report. I thought you meant the
beginning.
No, Sci-Fi Christian only. So you don't have to write a message unless you want to. Just in the subject line, say episode whatever. Yeah. Where did you first hear about? So I know because like one listener, he started listening at episode 4, which was the Batman episode.
That's awesome.
So, our first Batman episode.
But we do have a few people who listen to Sci-Fi Christian who listened from the beginning.
Then I would only say, I don't think Skip even did. I think it was Casey and Daniel.
That's true. Our pastor did not listen to our church podcast. Well, no, he did listen to the first. He was on the first one.
Yeah.
Remember, he wouldn't let us do it alone.
Oh, that's right. And now we podcast without him all the time. Yeah, he was afraid that we'd be, what do you think we're going to do?
We left Dad behind.
Nice. So, what, do you want to say anything before we get to it? Big surprise at the end. Well, it's not a surprise. Big event happening at the end of this episode. Ryan Strelow could appear. Well, he is going to appear possibly for the last time.
Just waiting for him to get out of the bathroom.
So, he's cleaning the bathtub for us. So,
yeah,
thank you, Ryan.
We just took a look at him in the bathtub. He's doing great.
But he is, just to be clear, he's clothed and cleaning. And so,
it was pretty steamy in there with the three of us crammed into your bathroom, though.
And so,
all clothed.
So next week, I don't think Ryan's going to be on when we do our Man of Steel review. So this is going to be Ryan's last appearance on the Sci-Fi Christian, possibly ever.
Well, we're going to get him on the video on moving week.
Oh, yeah, that's true. So, yeah.
But yeah, in terms of the podcast, this could be it.
Wow, crazy. So anyways, let's go to the main topic.
I feel a little misty-eyed about that.
I know, Ryan's Trailer Studios, the namesake, not going to be around anymore. But I mean, we had to say goodbye to Rebel Underground Studios.
We did.
This is just another chapter.
Which we could go back to, but it's a little inconvenient for you as a newly married man.
Yeah,
so I guess we're going to have to go to...
I should give you a public acknowledgement that every week, Ben comes out of his way all the way out to Mountains View, Minnesota, which is a 30-minute drive at least.
Yeah, thereabouts.
What is it?
Probably a 30-minute drive. You know what, though? I've been biking lately.
All the way here?
No. But that's going to be my goal, is that eventually I'm going to bike all the way here. I don't know how I'm going to get home because I think it would be kind of a one-way trip.
Yeah.
But that's going to be my goal. I'm going to bike here 1 week for the Sci-Fi Christian.
Not here, though. To the new place.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a little further.
Crap. My goal might be dead. Yeah. The dream has died.
It's not that much further.
The dream has died. This is like the absolute limit.
So, Injustice, Gods Among Us.
Yeah, but should we hype our social networking exercise site? As long as we're talking about it.
Yeah, why not?
If you like to exercise and you're on endomondo.com.
Spell it.
Endomondo.
Endomondo.
Yeah.
E-N.
Just look us up because we will
Yeah. So basically you have your phone running while you're, or yeah, your phone is running while you're running or biking, and it tracks you GPS style, and you can look at your route afterwards. You can even pep talk us. That is cool.
It is cool.
So
like you type in your message on the computerized voice. It's like, go, Ben, go. You can do it.
Ben, I want to talk about this game. I've been really excited about it.
Thanks for transitioning. I thought it was getting awkward.
No, you're doing a good job. I've been excited to talk about this for weeks, and we meant to do it the day we finished the game, but we just didn't have time because it took us too long to beat the game.
Yeah.
Did I have a half day that day or a full day off?
I think you had a full day off.
Yeah, and maybe you came over pretty early, and we played for a long time. Super fun game.
We started it on the day we did the 2001 live blog.
Oh,
and then we finished it the next week. Yeah.
Okay, so basically, Injustice, Gods Among Us, is a fighting game, but it's based on the DC universe. And so they create a story, which we'll talk about, and made reasons why it made sense for these different characters to fight. So what we're going to do at the beginning of this episode is it'll be non-spoiler, just general talk about the game. That way, at some point in the episode, if you want to play the game and you don't want to know what the story is, you can stop listening. So,
yeah. I think even with the story, though, we can talk about most of the story without getting into heavy spoilers. But if you don't want to know anything, just listen to the beginning. But the second half of the episode is going to be really good, so you're going to miss some really great stuff.
Yes.
That's your loss.
So do you know what platforms you could play? I actually do know. I'm just kind of asking you.
Xbox 360, PlayStation 3. Wii U, maybe just the straight up Wii.
Actually, no PC. So the three you said are correct. Plus, there's an iOS variation of the game that I think is a free download on iOS devices.
Yeah, I haven't downloaded it yet. I should check it out.
So we played a PlayStation 3.
Yeah,
I loved it.
It was so much fun.
This is my favorite game I've played in 10 years.
We discovered something, which is that you are a fighting game prodigy.
Now, what do you mean by that?
Like, I don't know how you do it. I'm not sure you knew how you were doing it, but just any fight, it didn't matter how tough it got, you won every fight the first time.
Yes, so while we were playing. This is how we did it. For the sake of time, and because I don't mind watching games, I've done a lot of that over the years.
Well, this one you can kind of watch as a movie, too.
Well, but here's what I was saying, is I've watched friends play games a lot and just kind of enjoyed the story of it. But when it got to the fighting portion, there were story breaks, basically, where you just watch it. And then it goes into the fighting part.
Yeah.
Ben would always start every single time. Ben always let off. And most of the time, he was able to finish a job and move on. There would be some times where he would lose. And at that point, he, with his head hung low, passes the controller to me.
Shamed.
And then I took over. And then like you said, 100% accurate. I never lost
one. Lost. They got really hard at the end.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was fun. I kind of felt like your sidekick.
Yeah. Now, I did offer to let you go first, just so I don't sound like a greedy controller grabber.
Absolutely. No, this is, I wanted to go fast through the game.
It probably would have been faster to have you play through it.
No, you did a good job. It was good.
Yeah, you are pretty good at fighting games, though.
So, yeah, we played, but you still beat me.
I still beat you some head-to-head.
So, yeah, so I guess I'm only 100% accurate against the computer.
That's true.
I don't even really know what we can say without spoiling it, because I just want to jump into the story so much. So why don't you just say anything you want to say, non-spoiler, and then I'm going to hit some music.
You know, I'm not a big fighting game fan, and so I wasn't quite sure that I wanted to get this one. It looked kind of cool, but then you had said, hey, have you played this? We could do an episode on it. I thought, okay, I'll buy it.
I felt bad, because a lot of people want us to do video game episodes. So yeah. I feel like we're doing a lot the next 3 weeks in a row, counting last week, are all things people have been asking, and we finally did. So Star Trek, done.
Yeah.
Tonight, video games, done. Next week, Superman. We're having a whole Superman episode to go in conjunction with the Man of Steel review. So, yeah, we hear your cries, fans, and we're doing what you ask.
But the other thing I would say with that is that there's other facets of the sci-fi Christian that might comment on those things that we don't as much on the show. For example, I've just recently gotten into Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. You've just started to watch some of the episodes. But Mike Poteet has been doing weekly summaries and reviews and analyses of the episodes for the last two seasons.
Yes.
So just head out to the website and search for TARDIS Talk. I finally caught up to where he is, and they're fantastic.
They are. It's amazing.
Yeah. So just because we don't talk about something, I bet you there's somewhere on the Sci-Fi Christian website where you can find a review, comments, article on that topic.
And speaking of reviews, Ben has just completed watching Game of Thrones Season 3.
Yes.
And so in light of the absence of those videos, we're going to start doing book review videos,
yeah,
which I'm pretty excited about.
We just recorded the third one tonight. Yes. So I did the first one. I finished 2001 Space Odyssey, the book. Second one, Ellie, my daughter, and I finished reading Chronicles of Narnia last weekend. Mm-hmm. So she joined me for a rather unique review. She's four, and that went about as well as you could expect. It was pretty awesome, though, so check that out. And then you and I just recorded a review of the graphic novel Tower of Babel, and by the end of this week, I should finish 2010.
Wow.
Next week, Neil Gaiman's new book comes out, Ocean at the End of the Lane, so we're going to have some awesome...
Wow.
I'm hoping to get at least one book review out a week.
And I just want to say publicly, feel free to do as many alone as you want, because book reading, although I thoroughly enjoy it...
Yeah.
Not my fastest strength.
Right.
So, go ahead. So, when you watch his reviews, be prepared to watch Ben alone all the time.
Yes.
All right, Ben. Last thing I want to say before we are non-spoilerly and we move into spoilers. Everybody knows I'm not a video game fan.
Yeah.
That's been clear since the beginning. This game was fun.
It was so much fun.
Even if you're not a fan, just find a friend who has a PlayStation 3 or an Xbox and play this game. It took us approximately 4 hours. Is that what we had, or 5 hours?
4 or 5.
To do the whole game.
To do the story mode. There's a lot more in the game in terms of head-to-head matchups and challenge matchups and everything beyond the 5 hours.
I read some stuff online. I even sent some things to you I don't think you knew about, where there's unlockable new levels. There's,
yep.
I'm tempted. I am tempted. I want this game, but
it's pretty awesome.
Not that tempted. Like, I'm not going to actually buy it. But so as a non-video game lover, I love this game. Here's the thing. If you like superheroes and you like video games, I really think this is the game for you. So yeah. Go check it out. 5 stars.
5 stars. Yeah, it's a great game.
Now we're going to talk in depth about the actual story and how awesome it is.
Yes. And we won't get too spoiler.
Yeah. I'm going to spoil everything.
Everything?
Right now. Okay. Everything is about to be spoiled.
Batman is a woman.
That's not true. But you can unlock Batgirl, I found out.
Yeah.
And you don't have her. The characters are great. There are some lame characters like Killer Frost I didn't love. I didn't like Raven being in there.
Yeah.
But Solomon Grundy, huge and awesome. Bane, big but not awesome. Lex Luthor, slow. Superman, so great. One of my favorite characters to play as.
Yeah.
Batman, amazing. Aquaman, surprise.
Yeah, so Daniel Butcher, Aquaman... Your favorite hero, he did well for himself in this game.
Yeah, he's your favorite on this game, isn't he?
He's one of the best to play as.
Who are your favorites to play as?
Green Lantern's really good. These are favorite to play as. Definitely not favorite characters, because Batman kind of sucks as a playable character in this game a little bit.
Okay, go ahead.
So I would say Green Lantern, Aquaman, Superman, Ares, or Hades, or whichever god
Ares.
It was. Yeah, Ares.
Wonder Woman villain.
Yeah, those were probably the best off the top of my head.
I like Shazam. Did you like Shazam?
He was okay.
I like Batman. Why didn't you like Batman?
Well, he wasn't terrible, but he wasn't like as good as some of the others.
Okay, let me give you some of my favorites before we do worst.
Okay.
Superman, Batman, Joker was fun to play as.
Yes.
I guess maybe I feel like that might probably be it for me.
Yeah.
Aquaman was good, but I didn't play that much as him as you did. Okay, least favorite, Flash.
Flash is terrible. Wonder Woman's really bad. Lex Luthor is kind of fun, but he's not very good. He's super slow.
Cyborg was pretty good.
Yeah, Cyborg was good.
Deathstroke.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Anybody
who had guns was good.
Yeah.
Because you could do long-range stuff.
Yeah, this was a fun game. Here's some things we should have made a countdown of like our favorite things, but one of my favorite things, and you will agree with this, the over the top, like it's almost the finishing moves in Mortal Kombat, but there you can use them throughout the game, not just at the finish. And each player has a really special, huge violent attack.
Yes.
And again, it's not like I'm a lover of violence, but it's so over the top and comical that it takes away from how like it could be despicable.
It's really entertaining. Like I think the Lex Luthor one is he sends a signal up to his satellite in space, which beams some giant ball of energy into his hands that he then slams down onto you. And I think Deathstroke punches you through the earth or something like that.
Doomsday.
Doomsday punches you through the earth.
Batman puts some like homing device on you and knees you in the face and then flips out of the way just as the Batmobile rolls on the screen and runs the opponent over.
Yes. They're so much fun.
Oh, Aquaman. Aquaman calls the power of the water and the shark stabs you with his trident, lifts you in the air, and the shark comes through and eats you. It's amazing.
It's really, really cool.
Tell me one of your favorite parts about it.
I would like that. There's also level transitions where every level that you're fighting in has a couple different screens. And so if you get somebody to kind of edge of the fighting area in the screen, you can do a special button combination that launches them into the next screen. Like if you're in the back.
And it's not like you just fly to a new location. It's elaborate how you get there, falling through different things. It's really great.
Again, amazingly over the top.
Yeah.
But very entertaining.
I mean, we've said it a number of times. All of these things are good, but it would be nothing without the great story.
Yes.
And so here's a story, and help me fill in the blanks.
Okay.
So in an alternate universe from what we would consider the regular DC universe, but even that is not the same as the New 52. It's just there's our kind of regular timeline and then a different timeline.
Yeah.
Pretty similar, other than Joker has manipulated Superman, given him a mixture of the kryptonite and Scarecrow fear gas to make him hallucinate, thinking that Lois Lane, his wife, and carrier of their unborn child, is actually Doomsday.
Yes.
So Superman kills Lois. Unfortunately, besides how bad that is, Lois's heart is attached to a monitor that is, if her heart stops, a nuclear bomb will explode in Metropolis.
Yes.
So by killing Lois and his baby, he also launches a nuclear attack on Metropolis and levels it.
Yes.
This drives Superman over the edge. He punches through Joker's heart, basically. His hand goes through his back, kills him. Batman watches in stunned silence. And over the course of a 5-year period, Superman takes over the world as a high counselor and employs a lot of the superheroes who we like as his police. There's a small faction led by Batman and Harley Quinn.
And Lex Luthor,
who's a good guy in the alternate universe, and Superman's best friend, so kind of like a double agent.
Yeah.
And they're trying to rein Superman in because he's overstepping his bounds as High Counselor.
Yeah, and so you have this alternate police state set up where everything's very bad, and then in our universe, alternate Batman has figured out a way to pull from the mainline universe.
Yeah.
And so he winds up pulling in a bunch of heroes and villains from our universe. The Joker, Green Lantern,
Batman,
Wonder Woman,
Aquaman.
Yep. And then eventually the Flash.
Green Arrow.
And Cyborg get over there too.
Yeah, and Superman eventually.
Yep.
So. And so there's a reason he pulls them over.
Which is that he needs different members of the Justice League to access this thing in the Batcave that has kryptonite.
It's like a kryptonite gun, basically. And he put a safety mechanism on even himself so that only certain DNA can unlock the safe. And so it turns out that the heroes from his side, though, have taken Superman's side.
Yeah, and so I think the heroes he needs Green Arrow, Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, and Flash.
Aquaman, not Flash. Mercus Flash comes way later.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And Aquaman is bad. Green Arrow's dead. Wonder Woman's bad. And Green Lantern is now Yellow Lantern.
Yeah, Wonder Woman is now Superman's new girlfriend, but you can tell he still loves Lois, and she's just kind of a side project. Yeah. And, yeah, like you said, Aquaman has a goatee, so you know he's bad. And he is about to give over his entire Atlantean army to Superman's cause.
Yeah.
Man, there's so many cool things. Because, of course, you get the common Aquaman versus Aquaman or Superman versus Superman. Even though the Batmans are on the same side, they fight in one small scene. They do have to have some contrived fights just for the sake of making it happen. But
yeah, there's a few moments where we remarked this scene could have been avoided by just taking 2 seconds. Yeah,
a simple conversation could have avoided these fights, but they have to have it happen.
Right. I think one of the most obvious ones is that just like some of the heroes are bad in the alternate universe, some of the villains are good. And so when our cyborg comes over to the alternate universe, he sees Deathstroke and another villain.
No, Lex Luthor saying, we have to stop Superman.
And he just, that's all I need to hear.
That's exactly, he says, that's all I need to hear. And then we have two fights and they're on the same side.
Yes. And then they, once they finish fighting, they realize their mistake, and it goes from there. So there's a few moments like that where it is contrived for the sake of the game, not the story.
But I've never seen a fighting game do such a good job at making the story make the fights make sense.
Yes.
So if you think back to Mortal Kombat, for example, which often comes to my head as a great fighting game classic, is basically just a tournament setting. So the reason the fights made sense is because it was a tournament, so you had to move to the next level. But here, they've woven a story together that explained each fight. So
yes.
No fights are out of nowhere, even if they are contrived. They make some sort of story sense.
Yeah, and some of them make excellent story sense.
Yes.
You know, where they would exist that way, especially when Superman comes over and he's taking on,
yeah,
you know, alternate Superman and everything towards the end, yep, of the game.
Yeah, and I mean, I felt like I was watching a movie in a lot of parts where
it is, yeah,
where I'm just sitting back and watching. Great graphics. Great
animation.
In fact,
I would recommend that even if you're not a video game fan and you don't want to play this, you can just search up a walkthrough of it that will show you all the clips. I think IGN's website has one.
It's the entire movie, basically?
Yeah. You can just watch it. You could sit down and watch it as a movie. And I don't know if it has fight scenes in it or not.
Yeah.
Like, well, the video game, you could skip past those if you want to. But you could just watch the clips as a movie. And I would recommend it because I think it's that good.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to overhype how awesome the story is. I did love it. But I was honest, listeners know that I like parallel universes.
Yeah.
I was left really thinking about this story for a couple days afterwards.
Yes.
How did you feel about it? Did that hit you too?
Yeah, I think that there's some really, really deep stuff. You know, comparing it to what we just reviewed for the book review tonight, Tower of Babel,
yeah,
where we both kind of agreed there's some really interesting elements here where Batman and Tower of Babel is gathering different ways to potentially take down the members of the Justice League if they go rogue.
Mm-hmm.
But the execution's so poor. This takes some of the same concepts, but really does a great job of them.
Yeah.
Because we do see the Justice League gone rogue. And so the whole dumb debate that takes place in Tower of Babel where all the Justice League members are all bent out of shape because Batman did this, it's like, well, this game is why he did this.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. They tackled the philosophical issues head on.
Yes.
And the Superman character specifically, you can see how he turned because he decided by totally taking over, that's how I'll bring peace.
Right.
And we know from the character Ares, he doesn't want this to happen because he feeds on war.
Yeah.
And so his reason for helping some of the good guys is just because he knows Superman, if he gets his way, is right, that there will be peace because he has enough power to be able to maintain order. And even if it is in sort of a dictator-like way, it would bring about something that some people would think is good.
Yeah.
And how he got to that place of just totally taking over. I mean, not only did he lose his wife and child, he killed his whole city.
Right.
You can really understand.
Yeah. I think it's like 8 million people, they say, that get killed in the nuclear explosion.
Even the mainline Superman, who comes over and is sort of the good guy of the story, he told Batman at the end, you know, if this happens to me, if I ever turn into him,
yeah,
take me down, because he knows it's inside of himself.
Right, exactly. This is one of the amazing things about it, is that this is not a shallow game.
Mm-mm.
It really does make you think. It does a better job. In fact, I will go out on a limb here and say that outside of the Dark Knight movies,
mm-hmm,
it is a deeper superhero movie than any superhero movie we've seen in probably the last decade.
Wow.
In terms of being able to make you think.
That's and a pretty big themes, statement.
It is. But can you name another one?
I mean,
Not one that you like better, but one that has this level of thematic and philosophical depth.
I'd have to think it through a little bit. But when it comes, okay, maybe if you're thinking philosophically, maybe not philosophically, because there's questions of me as a person, who could I really become?
Right.
That's why we've said it before, but science fiction gives you a way to explore these different ideas. And this, and parallel universes especially, really lets you examine people and identity and what could be and what's really inside of you and what are you capable of.
Yeah, and I think, too, that one of the big things that I was thinking of after this game is you have Superman, who's, you know, the big hero.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we've complained about is that he's kind of a boring character because mm-hmm, he's always the good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they completely flip that here, and he becomes the villain. And then you have to really ask one of the questions I think you come away from this game with is, is it okay for Superman to exist in our world? You know, is it okay for even good Superman to exist? Yeah. Or is he the equivalent of nuclear weapons in a benevolent country,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, okay, maybe you're not just going to set them off, but you're still a nuclear weapon. You're still that weapon of mass destruction.
Yeah.
Is that okay for it to even exist? So I think it raises functioned as a powerful and fascinating metaphor for the debate about things like nuclear weapons in a country like the U.S., where, no, we're not Iran, we're not going to, you know, we're not North Korea, but even us, is it okay for us to just have this because we're quote-unquote good?
You know, it's interesting. I said in the last episode, I've just been watching the Superman movie starring Christopher Reeve. The fourth one, not good, the least good one, but it's called The Quest for Peace, and in the middle of it, he decides he's going to take a stand against nuclear interaction, or not nuclear production.
Yeah.
And so they kind of buzz through this pretty quickly, so I don't know exactly how he does it, but I think he just takes a stand and decides he personally is going to be responsible for getting rid of all the missiles. And so you see him in a semi-montage gathering all the missiles, bringing them up to space, and having them in a huge net and throwing them into the sun and exploding all of the nuclear warheads that exist on Earth. And I did get kind of the sense that he was just kind of imposing his belief. Like, he decided, all right, this can't exist on Earth. Not that it's bad to get rid of nuclear warfare, but he had the power to just go ahead and take all the missiles and get rid of them.
Right, and given who he is and given how powerful he is, it would be the equivalent of one country rounding up everyone else's nuclear missiles and getting rid of them.
Yeah.
It's like, is that okay? You know, yeah, it's great that we don't have as many nuclear missiles, and supposedly the good guy's the only one who has it, but given how powerful he is, he himself is the equivalent of several WMDs.
Yeah.
And this, what this game dares to ask is what happens when somebody that powerful goes bad.
You know, I'm interested to read Red Sun, which we have here on the table. Neither of us have read it yet, but it's a Elseworld story in which baby Superman, Kal-El, doesn't land in America in Kansas, but he actually lands in Russia. And so he's raised with Russian values. So he's a Soviet Superman, basically. I haven't read it yet, but I wonder if it's going to come at it from the point that he's a bad guy because he's Soviet, or he just has different ideals and how it deal with that. Do you know anything about where this story goes?
I don't, but I've wanted to read it for a long time.
Yeah, so
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to checking that out as well.
Yeah, so but it's questions like that. That's why I make that claim that outside of Nolan's Dark Knight movies, I don't know that there's been another superhero movie in the modern era has this much depth to it. I mean, maybe you could think of one or two candidates, but this game, you know, certainly you take a movie like Thor.
Mm-hmm.
This is way deeper than that. Yeah. Iron Man 3, way deeper than that.
Okay, I can agree.
Yeah. Captain America. Yeah, this is way... This has all those things that I've been complaining about with all these superhero movies.
Captain America might have some potential to be up there when it comes to philosophical conversations.
Uh-huh.
Patriotic. man out of time.
Yeah, not so much. But, like, if you listen to every complaint that I've had with all these different reviews we've done on superhero movies, this is what I've been asking for. And this movie gave me hope that there could be a great Justice League movie.
And I did like what you said. I can't remember if it was on the show or on a video, but you basically said you don't want this to be made in, like, I think it was BioShock. You don't want it to be made into a movie. People just need to experience it in the format it actually came out in.
Yeah.
I might agree with you in this case because... the way the story was told, it did require the fight scenes, of course, because that's the whole point of the video game. How would this translate to an actual movie, do you think?
You know, they could do it. I guess when I say it gives me hope for a great Justice League movie, I don't mean I want them to take the script. I think it could be a good movie, though. There's no reason why you couldn't change some things and basically release this, except for the fact that it would give the studios a heart attack to, we're going to have all our heroes be villains in this movie, but it would be a great movie if they did.
Yeah. Do you think it was meaningful that Joker was evil on both sides? It seemed like that Joker didn't really change either way.
Yeah, I think that, you know, you can look at that where you have a villain like Joker who, even when he is sort of helping the good guys by creating chaos for Superman in the alternate universe, is still pretty horrible. Compare him with a Lex Luthor. So I think that there is a sense of, you know, fate versus choice in this world as well. You know, even with Superman, where you mentioned at the end, our Superman, the good Superman, says, well, I could become that guy someday too. Is he saying I could make that horrible choice, or is he saying the right set of circumstances can put any, push anyone over the edge? So I think that this game introduces a fascinating discussion about destiny, fate, the role of choice, free will, all of that in our lives. And so I think that it hits on a lot of those issues as well.
I've just loaded up the character chart here. There's some things. This is moving a little bit away from story. Do you have more you want to say about story?
No, we can go to characters.
Just some interesting things you might not know. I'm not sure if you even have you've done the research on this, Ben. The character Scorpion from Mortal Kombat is an unlockable character in this game.
I did not know that.
Batgirl is unlockable. Lobo, who I hate, is an unlockable character. This is really cool. They have Nightwing, Dick Grayson, as a character that you can play as, but then the computer character you fight against is Nightwing Damian Wayne.
Yes.
And that was kind of a surprise. Where, how did you feel about that scene when you found out that the son has chosen Superman's side against his father?
I guess I'm not that invested in Damian Wayne, so it didn't hit me that hard. But it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. Let's see. Hawk Girl was in this, but I thought she was a forgettable character.
Yeah.
Shazam and Black Adam, you know, Shazam, Captain Marvel were in there. Catwoman, not used that well, but not wasted, I think.
You could get Anne Hathaway to reprise the role.
Sinestro was pretty sweet in this game.
He was.
What are some other characters?
I did like the Yellow Lantern, Green Lantern dynamics that come
out. Yes. That's another philosophical issue, actually, if you think about it, because at the end, Yellow Lantern, Hal Jordan, realizes that Green Lantern, Hal Jordan, is right. He takes off his ring, and he actually turns himself into the council at Oa. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it kind of just shows if you follow the wrong leader, that you yourself can get on the wrong path. A little Christian there.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I think, though, that in terms of alternates fighting themselves in the game, the Green Lantern, Yellow Lantern stuff was probably the most interesting out of all of them.
Yeah, and again, you have fighting games all the time where they'll be like Sub-Zero versus Sub-Zero.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, there's no story purpose for it. It just is because you both friends want to be the same character. But
right.
In here, there's actual reason why it makes sense.
Yes.
So there's some unlockable like levels that you can. So I sent this to you yesterday.
I think they're DLC, so you have to pay for.
What does DLC mean?
A downloadable content.
So are those? Oh, so maybe those unlockable characters I was talking about, I think that might actually be downloadable.
Yeah.
So you have to pay, like Batgirl, I think you have to pay for.
Right, which is why I don't have her.
How much would it cost?
It varies. Like, I think you sent me the Red Sun pack, and that's probably like $10 or something like that.
Yeah, I just brought up some information here. There is the Red Sun pack, which contains alternate Red Sun skins for Superman, Wonder Woman, and Solomon Grundy, and 20 additional mission sets within the Red Sun storyline.
Oh.
That's kind of sweet.
Yeah.
I won't read all of those, but you can get ones like Arkham City. You can get Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe. You can get Blackest Night. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
There's alternate versions. There's like Black Lantern. I think there might be some zombie versions. Oh, yeah. There's a zombie mode in the Blackest Night storyline. This game is sweet, man. If I had this game, I would probably buy everything that you could add onto it. That's how much I like it.
It's that good.
It's probably good. I don't own a PlayStation 3. I love this game. I want to play it. If you download the Red Sun thing, I want to play it with you.
We'll read Red Sun.
How about this? Yep. I think you're following me.
Yeah.
We'll both read Red Sun. We'll play. Save the Red Sun portion for me. We'll play it together here again.
Yep.
Or no, at my new place.
Oh.
And we'll have kind of a day of fun. Record about the book and about the video game. There's another episode.
Perfect.
Oh, man, I love it. Let's just briefly talk about the prequel comic book.
Okay.
You've read a couple of issues. What were your thoughts?
I don't know. It was okay. It felt like it was just kind of servicing, setting up the story. I imagine some of the later issues probably get into the five-year gap that we don't see in the game. So it could be interesting. I wasn't hooked on it.
I know that you said you haven't bought a superhero trade for a while, but you were planning on maybe getting this when it comes out in October. Just so you know, I've read some reviews. It sounds like it's getting bad reviews. They're producing it because the game is popular, and usually video game tie-ins will kind of do well. but the stories are kind of lame.
Yeah, it doesn't really feel necessary because I didn't feel like any story was missing.
No, not at all.
No, the structure works so well in terms of what they have.
I almost feel like reading the prequel would ruin a little something for me. So
it could.
At one point, I thought about reading it, and now I'm feeling like I'm just going to let it be.
I think that's wise advice.
So yeah, so the comic, just if you are interested, it's like Ben said, it's a prequel. It takes place 5 years prior to the game and then kind of fills in some of the blanks that we don't quite see. So yeah, Ben, is there anything else we want to say? Or
well, I did want to say one other thing, not directly related to the game, but it seems to me, what occurred to me as I was playing this, is that DC, you know, they're always trying to reboot, sort of. Mm-hmm. We have everything, you know, we kind of exist in this universe, we're kind of rebooting, and it gets really confusing with continuity. They have the answer to all this built in. Parallel universes.
Yeah.
Just, you know, when a new writer team comes on, let them have the choice about they're going to write in an existing universe or they're just going to start their own. If somebody mm-hmm. wants to do a Batman story and they want to leave out the Justice League for just pure Batman like Nolan did,
yeah.
Go ahead and set it in a universe and just say, this is just Batman. And now the mainline Batman book is just going to be its own thing for the next 2 years or whatever while mm-hmm. we do this storyline. Embrace what they already have with the parallel universes, and all of a sudden your continuity problems are solved. You can start over, or you can keep going. If you want to revisit a storyline from 50 years in the past,
yeah.
and, you know, continue on in that storyline, you've got that option. It just seems like DC has a brilliant way in place to avoid the continuity mess. And if they would embrace it, I think that fans like me, who are just sick of that whole nonsense, would be willing to come back and check out some of their stories.
Yeah. Well, you and I talked about this at some point. I believe it was off the air. But Marvel does have multiple dimensions. But I feel like DC does a better job at having more of a one-for-one comparison, where there are multiple Batmans that are sort of similar, multiple Supermans that are sort of similar. So that would work more. Whereas in Marvel, they sometimes will do that, but they're usually drastically different. Like, there's a reason right. why we're seeing this really messed up version of Spider-Man. Like, you don't often see like Earth 1, Earth 2, where these are very similar worlds with some slight twists. So yeah, DC, I'm starting to really like the world, not just because of this game, but since the New 52, and I've learned more about it. I don't know, I'm still a Marvel fan, of course, but DC is more intriguing to me because I know less about it. So I feel like I'm still kind of like learning about these characters, and I'm still surprised by things that happen, whereas in Marvel it's sort of status quo. I do feel like Marvel is too convoluted. I'd like to see both companies kind of just start over. Like, if they both just agreed in 2015, everything starts over.
Yeah. And you can always come back to it because we've got parallel universes. Mm-hmm. Somebody says, oh, I really wanted to write that story in the old continuity. Let them.
Yeah, just do it.
Just do it.
Well, they let Frank Miller do whatever he wanted. Like,
exactly.
Dark Knight Returns is considered an Elseworld, but in some ways it could just be the future. You don't
exactly.
know.
Exactly. Yeah, it's just a different universe.
Yeah.
And you can have crazy ones. You can have normal ones.
Let them do whatever they want.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you don't have to tie all 52 of your comics together.
No. Let them do whatever. Let there be creativity.
Ben is right.
Ben is right.
Should I... why don't we pause, get Ryan Strathall on here for story time,
okay,
and send it off and one last time?
Should we turn on the camera but not tell him?
Oh, should we put him on the Sci-Fi Christian YouTube page?
I think so.
All right, let me give a little sound here. And we're back and joined by none other than Ryan, the man Strelo.
There he is himself.
Is this where I say hi?
Yeah, just talk on into this thing. No, don't touch that.
Enough?
Don't touch that mic. Just talk into it.
Don't touch anything.
Okay. Okay.
Actually, let's just go to this segment, story time. Here we go.
It's Sci-Fi Christian story time.
Move my mic so we can see you better on the camera.
Yeah, we're recording this. So, Sci-Fi Christian story time. This is the last segment on the show, Ryan. What will be your favorite memory of hosting the Sci-Fi Christian?
Well, I was just thinking about it today, actually, and I thought, you know what? This is the... It's an interesting feeling to be such a part of something that I'm not a part of.
Yes.
And I thought that feeling will probably never happen again. So
could.
I treasured that moment of thought for like 8 seconds.
Yeah, because I've played every now and then when I'm editing the shows. I've played for him times where we're talking about him. So it's always a little weird because
I was aware.
Yeah, so he knows.
We like the idea of having you kind of be the character who is lurking in the background,
like
who
the
you occasionally
guy.
Saw. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, I don't mind to be that role.
You're like a legend here. And let's just ask him some quick sci-fi questions.
Okay.
And just kind of get a feel for who is Ryan, because this is his last appearance on the show. And then I won't make it go too long, because I know you're cleaning our bathtub tonight.
How's the bathtub going?
It's going slowly. There's still a lot of crap on there.
Yeah.
So I have straight CLR now working on it.
Nice. All right.
I'm supposed to rinse it immediately, but I'm not.
Ryan.
I have this awesome stuff that I use to clean my beer fermenters that will just get all the crap off.
Really?
So maybe. If it's still screwed it next week, I'll bring it.
All right. Ryan, favorite science fiction movie?
Science fiction movie. No, those are the ones with like the superheroes
and time
traveling.
And anything like that. Yeah.
Anything. Hobbits.
I already know what your answer is.
Austin
Powers doesn't count, right?
Austin Powers is good.
That's what I thought you were
I was going to say Matrix. I thought you really liked Matrix.
I did like the Matrix. I know enough about the Matrix now that the first one was the only good one.
Is that
an appropriate answer?
No, would you like to be on a Matrix episode with us someday?
I don't know enough about it to say more intelligent things.
Ask him a sci-fi question.
What is your favorite superhero?
Superhero.
Yeah.
I'd probably have to go with Batman.
That's right.
That's right.
Because he's like, I think you even told me this when we were growing up. He's like, you should like Batman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know this. Tell the story.
And I'm like, all right. You said why? He said, because you like technology and he makes stuff.
Whoa. I don't remember that.
So I went, all right.
It makes sense because some people on the show might not know that you witnessed to me when we were in second grade. So Ryan is actually the reason I became a Christian.
Oh, my gosh.
And in return, I witnessed to him about Batman.
Oh.
So it's an even exchange. Jesus for Batman.
Now, wasn't one of you in a tree when you first met?
This is true. You know this, right?
What?
You and our other neighbor on your other side were climbing up in my grandma's choke cherry tree.
Yeah, in the back corner.
Yep, and I hadn't met you yet. And I think one of the first things I ever told you was, you shouldn't be climbing that tree because it was my grandma's tree. You were on my yard.
I don't remember that. Okay.
And then after that... have we ever told these stories on the air?
I don't know if they're on the air. I've heard them, though.
They're great. And so when Ryan and I first became friends, of course, now think back, second grade, I was a little shy. I didn't want to go to his front door and ask him to play, so I would just go out in the backyard and wait and see if maybe he would come outside.
That's awesome.
And then that's how we became friends.
What is your favorite moment of having Ryan Strelo in your life?
I mean, there's been a lot of good moments. I think him helping me become a Christian was pretty crucial to my life today.
And you have to say that too, right?
I mean, we're on the sci-fi question. Ben was earlier on either, I think it might have been the last episode actually, but we're recording two back to back. He was talking about when we say goodbye here at the apartment. One of my favorite memories of us, the most emotional, was when we left for college. Remember that?
You're right.
That was the most emotional moment.
Yeah.
So we've been friends for life. Then he's gonna go 3 hours north. I'm staying in the Twin Cities. We're not going to see each other. We hugged and cried.
We did tear up.
I was bawling.
I teared up.
Yeah.
I remember that. Yep.
So that's one of my favorite
memories. Will we see a repeat of that in 2 weeks?
I don't think so, because we're going to both be living around here.
Yeah.
Now, you're not staying in Scotland Green Apartments.
No, I'm going to destination undetermined yet.
You have 3 weeks to figure out where you're going to live. You need to know where you're living.
That is a top priority now.
You're going to have a spare room, aren't you?
I have a guest room. Why don't you just live with me?
Let's keep the magic going.
If you can move some stuff into the storage, you could seriously stay there for like a month.
A month?
Yeah, because...
End of the year, at least.
No, not end of the year. You have until August 1st.
That's fair.
That's actually not the worst idea.
You could stay at least
through
your honeymoon.
Technically, yeah.
It's not the... If you had someplace to store your stuff, you could easily stay there.
Hmm.
At least through Matt's honeymoon, right? At least.
Yeah. That's actually... That makes sense, too.
Yeah. You want somebody to watch the place.
Yeah. So, all right. There it is. On the air. You can ask him...
You don't want to be alone the first night. Either,
no.
So.
You could ask him one more sci-fi question, and then I'm going to end the show.
Okay. What is the one object in your life that most reminds you of Matt Anderson?
That's not sci-fi. But I do want to know the answer. Yes.
What's the one object?
Yeah.
Can it be something that if...
It could be a body part. It could be anything.
I was going to say a VCR.
VCR.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
A VCR reminds you of me?
Yeah.
How come?
Look at your projects that you've been working on for about an eternity.
Yeah, I
or a VHS of any kind.
I've
or
always,
a video camera.
Oh, I don't know if the audience knows this, Ben, but my undergrad was in media communication, so I've always been into video editing.
Yeah,
and so I've been going through some old home videotapes, and I even saw video editing I did without software back in the old day, where I would hook up two VCRs
and
play one into the next. And I would make projects that way.
That's awesome.
So,
well, I want to rephrase the question a bit. What is the one specific item that says Matt Anderson? Like, not just video cameras in general, but what is the one item?
The one item. Well, can I say that camera right there? No, that's not a good one.
No.
The one thing. There's so
the
many
bathtub.
Things.
Yeah, anything.
The dirty bathtub.
Dirty bathtub. Maybe.
A toilet? Is that toilet. Insulting?
Yeah, that is insulting.
You have to be specific, so it could be this toilet.
It could be this toilet, yeah. Okay.
I don't know if this is going in the best direction.
This is not the, like... I want you to ask
your
us...
Your bed or anything.
I want you to ask us some sci-fi questions, Ryan.
Ask you sci-fi questions.
Ask what have you always wanted to know about science fiction?
Toilet it is.
You can ask... Toilet it is. You can ask Ben and I each one sci-fi question.
What is a sci-fi question that
I anything
really
related
want to ask?
Or about Christianity, because we also do Christianity on the show.
Yeah, I do hear that. Sci-fi. What is the next greatest movie coming out that you're excited about?
Oh, Man of Steel.
Man of Steel, Superman. This very weekend.
This weekend.
Mm-hmm. Next.
Awesome.
Now me.
What?
Now me.
What, that was for Ben?
Yeah.
Oh, for you.
We have a spot open in the Sci-Fi Christian roster.
What do you mean?
We got rid of Kobe, didn't we?
No,
I guess he came back.
He came back.
But
do you want to be a host on the show? It's not too late.
I have nothing to say about sci-fi.
You're saying all sorts of stuff.
You clearly.
What if you came on every now and then as my sidekick? Because I've already had
a lot to say about Matt Anderson.
During the first season, I had to be Ben DeBono's sidekick.
What?
Yep.
We were partners.
And then... Now I could use my own sidekick.
It's true.
Like, you know, Andy on Conan.
Only if I can sit, like, below you, you know, like a sidecar and, like,
you'd
a motorcycle.
Have to sit on his lap. That's what Kobe always does.
That has happened, unfortunately. Yeah.
Like sitting on the floor is what I'm thinking of.
Kissing his cheek is optional during. Yeah, that you don't have to do that.
I feel like this is going downhill.
It is.
Right. Sci-fi question for Matt Anderson, or just any question.
Sci-fi
maybe.
Question.
Yeah, sci-fi question.
Any question you've always wanted to know.
Any question. See, that's the thing. I know everything there is to know about Matt Anderson, so I have nothing that I need to know.
That's true. Yeah. Well, do you know
what? Oh, I have one.
Okay.
Ben, ask me something about Matt Anderson.
Oh, this is interesting.
Oh, my gosh.
Turning the tables.
Yeah. Were you creeped out when you saw him staring at the back of your house, waiting for you to come out?
I don't have any recollection of that incident, but it doesn't surprise me because I was really shy. If Matt was shy, I was 10 times more shy. So I would have never said to the neighbor.
So at least he came out of the house.
He had the initiative.
Do you remember the first time? Okay, listen to this. The first time I finally had the guts to go to Ryan's house to ask him if he wanted to play. I went to his front door, knocked on the door. No answer. I wait.
Oh, gosh.
Then I rang the doorbell. No answer. So I wait and wait, and then it hit me. Oh, yeah, that's right. He told me him and his family were on vacation in San Diego.
Oh, it almost fell apart right there.
Yeah. We almost were.
How did you know that?
You told me when I was waiting for you outside.
So we were hanging.
Yeah, we hung out sometimes outside.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I have one more question for Ryan.
Yeah.
So you've been with us really since the beginning because you were really the original co-host back in the Lost Report days.
That is technically true. Okay.
Yeah.
And then we had the Life Report and the Sci-Fi Christian. What has been your favorite of all of our different projects together?
That's a good question.
I don't know if I have a favorite. Wait, what was the question?
What's your favorite of those three?
Of the three?
Yeah.
I have a favorite moment of the three.
Oh yeah, excellent. Go on.
I'll get to that in a second. But the favorite of the three, considering I haven't listened to any one of them.
What?
Just to show how unqualified I am to answer this question, and I just insulted both of you immensely.
No.
I am.
Probably The Lost Report, just because I knew more about that, because I was actually watching the show.
Yes. Yeah. Thanks to me.
Thanks to you. And which, because of that, I got my parents hooked on it, and they're now watching The Lost. not The Lost Report, Lost.
Well, you should have him watch
The Lost Report. It's still available.
I did
online.
Tell him about that. I said, Matt filmed himself watching it, so if you want to if you want to know a lot about the show, and they're actually watching the last two episodes, I think last night.
Oh, my God.
I had to actually...
You should have them call me.
I was going to. I said, I need to refresh how this is... What's the traditional interpretation? Because my dad's lost interest, and my mom is like, it's gotten too weird, but I'm too invested in the characters, forth. Anyway, so my favorite... So The Lost Report, for sure. But then my favorite moment was on The Lost Report. I remember standing there going, what am I doing here? I have nothing intelligent to add... And they're all saying, you all had like these detailed explanations of stuff that you had read inside tracks. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't know anything. So I just fish out of water is the way that you could most accurately describe that.
My favorite, I have two favorite Lost Report memories.
Yes.
One of them is with Ryan. Ryan and I actually flew out to California. Now,
aside from that,
I wanted to go to LA to go see Lost Live, the final celebration or something like that. I can't remember the exact title, but it was basically this night where Michael Giacchino was leading an orchestra playing some of the Lost music. They had the whole cast on stage in LA. They played the second to last episode almost a week early for the select audience. Yeah. I had to buy tickets to see it. I wanted to go out to California, but I didn't want to go alone, so I asked Ryan if he would join me, and he said yes. So, yeah, we flew out to L.A. and had this whole Lost experience. We filmed some in Beverly Hills, and then on the final like review from that evening, Ryan was sleeping in his hotel bed in the background, and I'm just kind of talking about Lost. So
part of why he was asleep, though, is because you two went for a pretty long walk on the beach. Followed that by a candlelight dinner.
That was the next day.
Next day. Oh, yeah.
The next day. Forget that. We were, because Ryan wanted to do more of the sightseeing. So we went to the beach and then we went to just a nearby Italian restaurant and that turned out they had candles on the table for us.
We're like just hungry at this point. We just want to eat.
Yeah, that's
my favorite Lost Report moment with you, Ryan, was there's an episode where you're half in the shot and you're sitting
strategically did that.
Yeah, you're sitting next to Matt on the couch, and I think that we didn't have tripods back at the time, so the camera kept falling off, but this was an episode where Sun and Jin maybe got romantically involved at one part, and throughout the video, Matt is telling you, shut your eyes, Ryan! This is not appropriate! And he reaches over and covers your eyes.
Yeah,
and
I remember that.
You turned to him, what is your problem? It's absolute... it's perfection.
Oh, that's so funny. I wish I still had that video.
You do? It's on YouTube.
I mean, yes, but I wish I had the original, and so we could just make that its own.
We will.
Okay.
I will find it.
Okay. That was good. So
I do remember that. Yep.
So many great memories with Ryan Strelo.
Yeah.
It's going to be sad to see you go.
It is going
to
be.
Now, you know that we've called this Ryan Strelo Studios.
I do. Yep. Yep. That is why.
We haven't named the new studio yet.
Yeah, that was the question I was going to ask you.
I don't know. Here's some potentials. Like, guest room studios, which is my favorite right now.
The guest room with Ben and Matt?
It could be Anderson Estates.
Is there going to be a bed in the guest room? Like, are we going to be laying in bed podcasting from now on?
It depends. I'll keep you updated on that.
Okay.
But, we don't know yet. Yet to be determined. But I guess, hey, if listeners, if you have some ideas for what we could call the new studios. So we're not necessarily going to take your ideas, but we're open to hearing them. Huh. Feedback at thescifichristian.com. Or Ryan, what's the phone number?
I have no idea.
612-4121-SFC.
You should call sometime, man.
Is that like someone's number? You guys have a separate
number? Yeah, we have a number. You can call and leave a voicemail.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I just had a thought.
Okay.
For a new studio name. Remember when we, Matt, had Ram Entertainment?
Ram for Ryan and Matt.
Oh, yep. That's awesome.
Yep.
Bam.
Very, very creative. That's exactly what... Bam Studios. There you go.
Bam
Ben
Studios.
And Matt.
I love it.
Bam Studios.
I think we just got the name.
Or Mab.
We'll
that's
see.
Weird.
Do you like Mab?
Not really.
I think Bam.
Queen Mab, I think, is from Midsummer Night's Dream. So it's a little weird.
Interesting. Bam Studios isn't horrible.
Bam. It's like a superhero.
I think we'll consider it. Good work.
That's the best one we've got so far.
All right, listeners, guest room studios.
Well, you know what? I just realized after all this, we never did do the listener feedback. Let's do that. Let's just do that in outro.
Oh, let's not do listener feedback.
Oops, too late.
I didn't know what you had on me. Do you have any listener feedback for us, Ryan?
I have zero.
Okay. I asked the question, Have you played the superhero video game Injustice: Gods Among Us? If so, what platform did you play it on, and what were your thoughts on the game? Anthony wrote in, it was a really well-done fighting game that respected the source material and has a great story to boot. Worth it, Ben?
Was that it?
Yep, that's it. Was that feedback worth it?
No.
I think so. Good job.
Thanks, Anthony. Andrew writing in.
Anthony.
Anthony. you know, we should let Ryan hear some of our best sound clips, too, before we go.
I mean, might as well, because honestly, at this point, if people are still hanging in there, they like Ryan Strelow.
Yeah, so.
And so, okay, here are some of the more popular sound clips that we play on the show. So, which one are you going to play first and give a little intro to it?
This is the Stan Lee quote of the week.
It's the Stan Lee quote of the week.
Bing! I'm supposed to hear things.
You can't hear it?
No, it's,
Oh, his microphone. It's turned on down all the way.
You haven't heard... You've had the headphones the whole time?
Can you hear our voices now?
Oh, my gosh. Wait. So you haven't heard anything the whole time?
You're fired.
Yeah, well, no, now it's okay. It doesn't matter. I just wanted you to be able to hear
this better. It's the Stan Lee quote of the week.
Oh, there it is.
Bing! Okay, wow.
This is Take That Science.
Take That Science.
So we have different segments on the show. One of the favorites is whenever Ben says something that is proclaimed as being right and he was correct on his assessment, we play this song. Ben is right.
I am right.
Yeah, Ben is right.
Ben is right.
You are right.
I am right.
Ben is right.
Ben is right.
You are right.
All of you who have disagreed with me, get in line, because it's apology time.
We often do countdown shows, and so when it's time to do like some sort of countdown, like our top five.
Oh, God, this is just becoming greatest hit sound clips. That's great.
When, like, say we do top five superhero powers that missionaries could use. We play this countdown.
Say that again.
We've had an episode about top five missionary superhero powers. Yeah. Like what would be useful on the mission field. So here's the countdown song.
Click it. Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian Countdown.
On the Sci-Fi Christian.
One of our other podcasts that we're friends with, one of the hosts once said this, and I captured it.
If Ben DeBono jumped off a cliff, would Matt Anderson follow? I would say yes.
when we're doing news and we have the last news of the day, we play this. Why wouldn't this work? I know. Hold on. My computer's freezing.
That's okay.
Not okay if we lose this recording.
That's not okay.
Never mind. It's not worth it. It's not working. I don't know how to make it work.
Oh, we can give him What the Frodo.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
Last news of the day.
That's my favorite.
Should we end with What the Frodo?
Last one is What the Frodo.
What the Frodo is this? What the Frodo?
You thinking, man?
What the Frodo?
What's going on?
What the Frodo?
So we play this for news that's like really crazy. Like, what
makes you say what the WTF? What the Frodo?
Is that a phrase you guys made up, or is that
Ben made it up?
Well, it's based on another phrase that you may have heard a time or two.
That's what I figured. I know. I saw the tie-in, but I don't know if that's like.
And when we end the show, it goes like this. Nope, it's not happening. Yeah, so we got the music kind of slowly coming up, and then we're like. Well, that's all from here. Thanks for joining us on this episode where you finally got to meet Ryan Strelow.
And we talked about Injustice a while back, too. You may have forgotten about that.
Well, I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DeBono.
And I'm Ryan Strelow.
Of Ryan Strelow Studios.
And we all are the Sci-Fi Christians, and we are...
Signing out.
Signing off.
Goodbye.
Good work. First appearance. How did you feel about that?
This is another one.
Feels great.
Okay, so he's probably only going to be able to hear us a little bit, but I'll just put it here.
Okay.
The recording is more important than
his
being able to hear us.
Hello?
Hello, is this Rick Lee James from the Voices in My Head podcast?
One in the same. Yes, how you doing, Matt?
Doing good. You're on with Ben as well.
Hey, Rick.
Hey, Hey, Ben. I feel like I just talked to you today because I just put the new podcast out.
Yeah. Yeah, we're beginning to make this a habit.
Hey.
Literally hearing voices in my head.
Yes.
Rick, I haven't listened to it yet because I wanted to listen to it as one whole chunk. But then Ben told me he kind of wants to release it through the Sci-Fi Christian feed and do a little cross promotion. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I'm fine with that. It'd be great.
You should send me the unedited straight through because we often will just let shows run forever.
Yeah.
So I'll just use your two episodes as one episode for us.
Okay.
Cool.
Hey. All right. I don't know when I'll be able to get it to you, probably in the next couple of days, if that's all right.
Oh, I mean, that's fine. It's fine if it's even like, you could do it whenever. It's just, we don't have to release it at the same time or anything. So.
We're like both, or Matt's gone for the first half of August and I'm gone for the second half.
Yeah,
so.
We need some content.
We're going to be desperate.
Okay.
So the reason I was calling is because we have planned to have you on for the Superman episode. And next week, I have extreme flexibility because my fiance will be working at a church camp for the week. So we usually record on Tuesdays, but we could record any day that works for you.
Okay. Well, it would have to be either Monday or Tuesday or Saturday for me because I'll be going out of state to do some concerting. So... I should be home Monday and Tuesday if you guys wanted to try it anytime then. And I'm going to see the movie Friday with my wife, so I'll be ready to chat. So what works best for you guys?
Well, we could just stick with Tuesday, I guess.
Yeah.
Or what day are you leaving town? Wednesday?
Yeah, I'll probably be leaving Wednesday morning. I might be leaving Tuesday night, but I could. I'm not sure exactly. I'm going to have to still find out. It kind of depends on if my wife and child are going with me or if I'm going to go by myself.
We should
haven't quite decided yet.
Let's do Monday. That way you don't have to be stressed the day before you leave. And does Monday evening work okay for you or is that bad?
I think so. I think Monday evening should be fine.
Okay. Ben and I are seeing it on Saturday for what might be our first ever double date.
Yeah.
I don't think we're bringing anybody else with us. Just my fiance and your wife. And so then Monday evening... Are you in the Central Time Zone or Eastern?
I'm Eastern Time Zone.
What time do you want to do it on Monday night?
Really, you name it, and I should be able to do it. So whatever works best for you.
Let's do 7 o'clock your time, 6 p.m. our time.
7 o'clock my time on Monday. I think that will work. So I will. I'll double check after I hang up. I can look at my calendar, but I think that should be fine.
Perfect.
Awesome.
All right.
Do you guys just want to call me over my on my Skype?
Yeah, we'll do.
When you're ready?
Yeah, we'll do Skype. Well, right now, of course, we're talking by phone, but Skype will work better.
Okay, great.
Cool. All right. Well, we'll talk to you in a week then.
Awesome, and I'll get those to you as soon as I can.
Okay, and then
I appreciate the promotion.
Oh yeah, I might come up with a few other things we could talk about besides just the movie, just some Superman related things. So I'll send you the outline.
Okay, that'd be awesome. Yeah, I've got tons of like Superman knowledge, and I just finished like a 300-page book about the whole history and everything too. So
perfect.
We should have some talking points.
So. Awesome. All right, thanks, Rick. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Rick.
All right, see you later, guys.
All right, bye. All right, that's it, Ben. It's happening next week.
Awesome.
Superman, Man of Steel review.